All right, Sabbath blessings, everyone. I hope you're all having a wonderful Sabbath day. Give me one second here. I'm trying this new software that, new app that a friend of mine put me on. It's called Stereo, and I guess you can go in and do like your own little podcast. And I had a few who had asked some questions concerning this upcoming holiday. So I had some articles lined up and ones I wanted to get into last week, but totally forgot. Matter of fact, there it is right there. Hold on. The way this thing works, like it calls, and then you go online to like this little app here. All right. I thought that it was on Sabbath, but it's Friday. It's Friday, so instead of going into a few of these articles, decided just to have a good discussion about Christmas, about its origin, in the way that it's being treated now versus how it was treated just 200 years ago. I mean, matter of fact, even less than that, how America just shunned it. They knew what it was about. They knew what time it was. And now when you just see how it is, how it's being carried, how it's being played out, it's something that everyone looks at with a different approach. But we're going to go look into some of the link here on the website of some SOP quotes. And to each his own. I mean, when it's laid out right here in Scripture, when you see historically the holiday, when you see how Sister White presents it, then it's up to the individual to look at it, take the information, and make the decision. I mean, it's hard for me to even say Christmas. It's hard. It really, really is. You know, when someone talks about it, you go into the store, it's automatic around this time of year. They're going to say it. Me personally, when I first came in, you know, understanding what it was about, this thing is not working. All right. When I came into the knowledge, understanding what it was about, then you kind of got to get into that mindset, like, okay, they don't know. They don't know. So you have to take what you have and show it to them. You have to. And it's up to the individual to make those informed decisions. When they do, and some, I mean, they're going to continue on. I mean, when I went home and Thanksgiving, visit family, I mean, the decorations were already up. And I know how my family does. I mean, they have everything already reared, all the lights, the yard, all that good stuff. I mean, it's all out there. They don't waste any time. And that's pretty much the entire talk, all the discussions leading up to the holidays. Everything is centered around that. I'm from Mississippi. I just read this article a few days ago because the governor there had declared like this National Day of Prayer. I think it's coming up tomorrow. Matter of fact, it's coming up tomorrow. And he had declared it in the face of the pandemic and the crisis, and so to speak, he had put that out there. And the article that went on to list how Mississippi, like, ranks, I think, number one as, like, the most religious state, I guess, in weekly church attendance, even though you know that there are Sunday keepers. But as far as, like, the going to church, I think it ranks, like, number one. And I see it within my peers. I see it within my family. It's definitely there. It's definitely there. Not like it was when I was coming up, but it's definitely there as far as like weekly church attendance. So when the holidays come up, oh, it's even bigger. It's even bigger. They pretty much go all out for the celebration. But what needs to be talked about is it Christian? Is it Christian? I mean, so many put the X before Christmas, and they just called it Xmas. And then you have different groups, different churches saying, oh, we need to put Christ back in Christmas because we've taken him out. We've taken him out. I'm sure you've seen that little nativity display in the Vatican that featured like UFOs and an astronaut. I'm like, what is that? And so many came on and condemned it. They shamed it. But they're putting all the effort in this holiday, putting all the effort saying that you need to restore Christ into Christmas when that was something that he has absolutely no involvement at all. Well, instead of putting the focus in Christ in Christmas, the real focus needs to return as putting Christ back in Christians. And when I heard that, and I said, I'm taking that. And when I heard it, the real focus needs to be putting Christ back into the Christian. Because there's so much going on now where America, people have lost their focus. When it needs to be a Christ-centered focus. Now this first article, before we actually get into some of these quotes, was something that the governor in Michigan is doing. Let me pull this up. She did this to kids. Let me see if I have this article. All right. The governor there, Gretchen Whitmer. The headline reads, she uses a Santa Zoom call to tell kids not to visit their families at Christmas. So you see how they're working this. You see how they're working, terrorizing these holidays, so to speak, when in all, it shouldn't be celebrated to begin with. Now, I know I talked when it comes to Thanksgiving. That's our main opportunity to go home and see family because we're so spread out. When I do go, it's always some type of encouragement to come to a church service, even though I'll never attend on a Sunday. It just won't happen. My grandma, she'll speak about it, and I say, well, why don't you come, you know, when you come home in July to bring the kids, why don't you come and just attend church with us? I mean, I've already expressed that, but, you know, it's your grandmother. And a lot of us are going to be tested in those areas, especially with friends, especially with family, as far as Sunday keeping, as far as holidays. And if it weren't for Thanksgiving, then I won't be able to visit like a lot of family members because they only come in town on that specific day or unless there's a funeral. And normally those funerals are held on Sabbath, so that kind of eliminates seeing them on that day because I'm not going to attend the funeral. And also on the Sunday because I'm not going to go to the church. So I'm like, well, here we go. I'm just taking advantage of this particular day and just try not to conform to the customs that they are in. And if they see a different character, then that's your ability and opportunity to be able to talk to them and they can see. So when you see these attacks on these holidays, just know their purpose. Just know what they're doing, how they're trying to frustrate people, even though they shouldn't be celebrating these holidays at all. But you get headlines like this. Well, this governor is using this call, this Zoom call, and has these kids, and they're all on this call, and they have Santa right there on the Zoom call. And Santa's up there. He's telling the kids, you need to wash your hands and don't forget to wear your mask. And all these kids are asking the questions about what are the elves doing. He's telling them all they're working and they're social distancing while they're working and they're all wearing their masks. And you can tell it's all scripted because the governor is asking particular kids questions and they're all asking Santa particular questions. And he has the exact answers and they all revolve around COVID. Every single one of them is targeting COVID, and it's more terrorism towards the children. So you have the holiday, which they shouldn't be celebrating at all, and then you have the COVID backdrop to remind the children, like, hey, no matter what's going on in this world, you cannot forget about this virus. You cannot forget about that. So it's there. It's there. So I'm going to post that article in the church chat later on this evening. But that's I was just looking at that and the way they were just using these kids to remind the people to stay home, wear the mask, social distance, all that good stuff that just every day you see on the news as far as COVID is concerned. But I'm going to pull up the link here on the website. Titled is Christian is Christmas Christian. And some of the SOP quotes that I have here available. Starting with this one from Review and Herald, December 11, 1879. Sister White speaks, "We advise all our brethren and sisters to make a decided reform in regard to these festal holidays. And you know they say that Christmas is supposed to be a time of celebrating the birth and life of Jesus Christ on earth. Even if you read the Bible and look at different historical accounts, nothing lines up with Jesus being born next week. Nothing at all, but this is how it's portrayed before the people. And they accept it. And they believe it. But we're going to look at these quotes. We're going to look at these quotes here and see what Sister White says and see what we have available on the website concerning historical accounts and the word itself. This is from 21 Manuscripts Releases, page 223. She says, "Christmas will soon be here. It is supposed to be that Christ was born on the 25th day of December, and for that reason it is celebrated as his birthday. But it is impossible for us to know upon what day he was born. You can know more about that than the children of Israel could know where Moses was buried. The reason God has not revealed that fact is because you would have worshipped that day as they would have worshipped the grave of Moses had they found it. And that is just what they have done with the day that they suppose was on which Christ was born." And it is true. I mean, look how people treat birthdays. Look how they treat birthdays. So can you imagine if the people actually knew? If they actually knew, but it's what they suppose. They suppose this day coming up is the actual day. Is the actual day. So we have some more quotes here from that same book, 21 Manuscript Release, also on the same page. "Everybody is trying to find out how they can bring suitable gifts to one another. In the family, the study is to know what next they can give. They have given something every year. Now, what shall I give this year to the children or to the father and mother? But where are the Savior's poor? They are right before your doors." Oh, okay, Brother Greg, that quote is from 21 Manuscript Releases, page 223. It's also in the same book, the quote that I'm reading now. And she goes on to give a verse here from Matthew 25, 42-45, reading, "And he was saying to them on his left hand, I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat." And we're talking about the poor here. "I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of these, the least of these, ye did it not to me." Matthew 25, 42-45. Now, why is this so? She says, it's because there is so much selfishness. So much. And she said this over 100 years ago. I mean, now we're living in the age of self. But people, men in particular, are lovers of self more than lovers of God. They are. I mean, the term selfies proves that. It's all about self, 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 self. I just had this discussion with a writer the other day where people, I think we were talking about relationships and why is it so difficult now when it comes to relationships, why people don't want to commit. Because they're so in tune with themselves. They don't know what it means to sacrifice for the other individual, sacrifice what it means to actually maintain a relationship. It's all about what you can do for me. What can you give me? What have you done for me lately? That is this generation in a nutshell. That is it. It's selfishness. The total opposite of the character of the Son of God. Jesus Christ identified himself with his suffering poor. And when we do the works of an elephant, we are doing it unto Christ. That's also quoting here. I want to know how many of us are doing this kind of work. How many will keep Christmas? All right. Here's another quote from Sister White. Again, I lay these quotes out for each individual. Now, I know the majority here, like, nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing at all. Nothing to do with the custom, nothing to do with the holiday. Just, you look forward to the day after. You look forward to when the day is absolutely over with. You can just, like, you can exhale. Because even where I work, I mean, it's just constantly just the music and the talk. And you get asked a question, like, you're going to participate in a little secret Santa thing. I mean, this I see y'all every day. This is just for us to exchange amongst each other. But you have, as Sister White just quoted, the poor right at your doorsteps and people who are in need. I mean, have you seen these food bank lines? We talked about these. Have you seen these lines where people are lining up just because they don't have anything to eat? Yet Americans in particular are looking, scouring the internet to see what they can buy, see what they can give. And majority of the time, they're giving it to people who already have, just to make themselves look good before a person. Like, oh, I didn't forget about you. Here you go. I didn't forget about you. Now what are you going to give me? This happens every single year. And the kings of the earth, they love it. The merchants of the earth, they love it. They love it. They love it. They love it. It just fills their pockets. I mean, Amazon, I can't even imagine. But this is every year, especially around this time. I mean, it just happens leading up to the actual day. Review and Herald, December 9th, 1890, this quote. How stinted are the offerings on this day go into the Lord's treasury? How large the sums that are spent in presents to one another. Yearly those who have means have put God from their remembrance and bestowed their gifts upon those who have no need of them and who could repay them again. How many of you have thus needlessly expended time and money while close under the shadow of your own homes, the poor and needy have been neglected. And while the message of truth has been restricted in its work, the means that was devoted to gratify pride and foster vanity would have been a great blessing to the needy and would have carried the gospel light to those who sit in darkness. It's vanity. It's all vanity and vexation of the spirit. But when you have the TV, you have television, again, you go out in public, I mean, you see the decorations. I mean, there is not a town in America that does not fully convert when the 25th rolls around or the months leading up to it. I mean, Walmart reminds the people months in advance. I had spoke to someone who works at Walmart, who's a manager there, and was telling me about the process of how they go pretty much getting Americans ready for the seasons, getting them ready, just by what they do in this particular store. I mean, you could be in a coma for a year, not even know the calendar or anything. I have no idea. Wake up, go into Walmart, and you know what the season is by what they have on display. I mean, they were telling me, like, immediately, I mean, the very next day after Christmas is over, immediately they go into Valentine's Day. I mean, it's like another month or some change away. Immediately. And all the revenue that's generated, all the profit, all the money that's been made months in advance. And they do this. They give you those four major holidays. I think it's like a 4th of July, I think one was Valentine's Day, Christmas, and it was Halloween. Those four, they push to get the money. Every single one of them is tied around some type of money. All of it, to spend the money on things that you don't need or overindulgence. But this one tops them all. This one right here. It's another quote. Thousands of dollars will be worse than thrown away upon the coming Christmas and New Year's in needless indulgence. But it is our privilege to depart from the customs and practices of this degenerate age. And instead of expending means merely for the gratification of appetite or for needless ornaments or articles of clothing, we may make the coming holiday an occasion in which to honor and glorify God. Again, they put so much emphasis, and that was from E.G. White, Review and Herald, December 11, 1879. They put so much emphasis on taking Christ out of Christmas. But what about Christian fruit? I mean, what are you doing? What are you actually doing? What would Jesus do? What would he do? Our children have been educated to expect gifts from parents and friends upon Christmas. Christmas is celebrated to commemorate Christ's birth. If we celebrate it only in seeking to give pleasure to our children and one another, our offerings are diverted from the true object. We should bring our thank offerings to the Lord, laying our gifts at the feet of him who had opened the treasures of heaven to us. Any plans that human minds and hearts shall be diverted from God and his cause to praise and honor one another. God has been left out of the question and positively dishonored. Christmas has been made a day of feasting, of gluttony, of selfish indulgence. Now let every family consider this matter in all its bearings. Let the parents place it in all its wonderful significance before their children and friends and say, this year we will not expend money and presents upon ourselves, but we will honor and glorify God. We will testify of our gratitude to him who gave his son to die as our sacrifice, that we may have the gift of eternal life. Let us show that we appreciate his gift and respond as far as it is in our power with thank offerings. Let us celebrate Christmas by remembering God instead of remembering our friends and relatives with gifts which they do not need. Again, going back to this whole reason for the season, everyone gets gifts except Christ. Everyone is completely taken out of the equation. Completely. Even though it's supposed to be about him. But it's not. Instead, selfish indulgence is put before the people. Coveting. Greedily all day long. I mean, what am I going to buy? What am I going to get? What can I get for this person? What can I get for that one? Just all just going on and on and on, making this list, going over it. And just spending money that can be used for other means. Here's another quote here. E.G. White, Counsels on Stewardship, page 295. Satan's suggestions are carried out in many, many things. Our birthday anniversaries and Christmas and Thanksgiving festivals are too often devoted to selfish gratification, when the mind should be directed to the mercy and loving kindness of God. God is displeased that his goodness, his constant care, his unceasing love are not brought to the mind on these anniversary occasions. Again, he's forgotten. He is forgotten. This next quote, we'll talk about that. You see what's on the forefront of this holiday. It's a common theme that she's repeating here in these quotes. A common theme. This is from E.G. White, reviewing the Herald, December 6, 1887. Every dollar and every dime that we can spare is needed now to aid in the carrying the message of the truth to other lands. The holiday season, much is spent by our own people upon gifts and various gratifications, which are not only useless, but often hurtful. Appetite is indulged, pride and self-love are fostered, and Christ is forgotten. If the money usually devoted to these objects were all brought into the mission treasury, our foreign missions would be lifted above embarrassment. Shall we not this year consecrate to God not merely a part, but all our holiday gifts for the relief of his cause, which is in so great need? How can we more appropriately celebrate the coming Christmas? How better express our gratitude to God for the gift of his dear Son than by offerings to send all the world the tidings of his soon coming? The tidings. And these things are just, they're just not talked about. They're forgotten about. It's all the selfish pride, the selfish indulgence, gluttony, the feasting. But are these the fruit of a Christian? Yet this is what is exploited on this day. And then what about the tree? She does have some interesting quotes here. But again, this information is presented for you to make an informed decision. An informed decision on what Sister White has here outlined in Spirit of Prophecy and what the Word of God speaks about. These holidays, these festivals, in particular here in the book of Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 2 through 4. This is thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs, customs, key word, customs here, of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. And still to this day, this practice continues. It still continues. You see the farms where they just have the trees out there, and the people go out there to pick out a particular tree, and they cut it down, take it home. And just as Jeremiah said, they deck it. They deck it with the silver and with the gold. Exactly as he spoke right here in the Word. They do these things, not knowing the origins or the pagan history behind them. Review in Herald, December 11th, 1879. Oh, no, this is wrong date here. December 26, 1882. In every church, however small, special efforts should be made to show our gratitude to God by bringing our offerings for his cause. Let those who desire a Christmas tree make it balls fruitful with gifts for the needy and offerings for the treasury of God. and let the children learn the blessedness of giving by bringing their little gifts to add to the offerings of their parents. They forget about the giving. Because all to give to each other who already have. I mean, growing up, as a child, I mean, it's just something that you look forward to because of the way it was presented. With all the magic and all the lore and, you know, all the things that you are expected to get. I mean, me and my cousins, we just sit and every year JCPenney would come out with this huge book and had like the Christmas edition. And we would just go through and just circle things. Like, I want that, I want that, I want that, I want that. Just circle. Things we had absolutely no interest in the entire year. But this book comes out and makes it seem like this is the must-have. I mean, we would just circle knowing that we were not going to get anything inside of that. We were not going to get it. But we were there. We were coveting and had no idea. None. Because this is what was presented to us through our parents, through our family. This is what was presented. This is what it was all about. Even then, Christ was not the center. It was all about waking up extra early on that day to see what was up under that tree. Absolutely nothing else. And then taking what you had, and going and showing it off before your friends, showing it off before your cousins, showing these things off. So now you had the coveting that was done in the weeks leading up. Now you have the envy. Because there's going to be someone that did not get what they wanted. Or someone that wanted what you have and then they see you with it. Now that envy is stirred. Now that jealousy is stirred. What makes you better? Or what makes you worthy of deserving this gift? Why is it my parents did not give me this? Why? I mean, these things go into the minds of the children. And I'm only saying it because I had those particular thoughts as a child. And this is where, as a parent, you come in. You take this information and you look at it for what it is. You look at it and you make that decision. And now in the age of the internet, we have all of these quotes. I mean, we could spend an entire day alone just going through all these quotes, going through the website. I'm trying to just get particular ones here. I mean, it's so lengthy. It really, really is. But then you find some ones that are just, you know, heavy, heavy hitters. So going back to the tree. That is like the centerpiece, the focus of the holiday, because that's where everything's going to be sacrificed up under that tree. All the gifts right up under that tree. The Christmas tree, now so common among us, speaking of the origins, was equally common in pagan Rome and pagan Egypt. In Egypt, it was a palm tree. In Rome, it was a fir. The palm tree denoting the pagan Messiah as Baal Tamar. The fir referring to him as Baal-berith, the mother of Adonis, the sun god, and great mediatorial divinity, was mythically said to have been changed into a tree. I kid you not. And when the next state to have brought forth her divine son, if the mother was a tree, the son must have been recognized as man, the branch. And this entirely accounts for putting the Yule log into the fire on the Christmas Eve and the appearance of the Christmas tree the next morning. As Zoroaster, the seed of the woman, he has to enter the fire on the Mother Night, that he may be born the next day out of it as a branch of God from the tree that brings divine gifts to men. It's from, taken from the two Babylon's, page 97. Again, Sister White quotes here About the Tree, also in Review and Herald, 1879. Shall we have a Christmas tree? Will it not let the world? We answer, you can make it let the world if you have the disposition to do so. Or you can make it as unlike the world as possible. Myself, I have not constructed one. Oof, man. I want to say I stopped in 2014. So it's been about 6 years. It's been about six good years. We actually let that go. But again, we have the information, present it, take it, you read it, and you make your decisions. You make your decisions as far as what do you want to do? Children and the youth, as you celebrate the coming Christmas, will you not count up the many things for which you are to be grateful and will not present a gratitude offering to Christ as so revealed that you do appreciate the heavenly gift? If you and Harold, December 17th, 1889. What's really lost in this world is gratitude, the giving of thanks. I mean, even in the minor things, just the fact that you're alive and breathing and living in this end times is so lost. It's so lost. But you're here and to be thankful just for the gift of another day. But to be able to have the roof over your head, you got food in your fridge. But now, I mean, with children, it's so lost. To give them a thanks? No, because we live in this age of selfishness. They're looking forward to not only the holiday, but the particular gift. And sometimes it's even rejected. Like, I didn't want that. I was waiting on the latest iPhone or whatever it may be this year. I don't think it's like it was when I was a child. Or there's a specific gift that just everyone just had to have. Now it's just it's so much out there. I don't know if the kids are particularly targeting or being targeted by just something by the mainstream. I don't know if it's the same because I haven't really looked into the holiday in a long time. Or what about Santa? We talked about last week how they are using jolly Saint Nick to keep the whole COVID thing going. I was just referenced earlier with what Governor Gretchen is doing in Minnesota. But just the word itself should say any to just leave eliminate all doubt. We can just take one letter and just move it. One letter. Just take the N, just put it to the end. And you see who's behind it. You see who's behind it. It's a quick word regarding Santa. It should be plainly obvious to any follower of Jesus Christ that this Santa character is not only a lie, which is sin, but also takes the glory away from our Savior. I mean, it's a lie. And it's presented to children as he can see all, he can do all. He knows everything, and he's able to do this in one day of getting all these gifts. Matter of fact, let's just go to this chart here that makes the comparison between the Son of God and Santa Claus. This is taken from the website. Okay, we'll use this chart here. Okay, so on the first quote, I'm going to read about the description of Santa. And the second will be Jesus. All right, so Santa, they say, first and most important, Santa. Oh, see, just that. I was going to say Satan, but Santa is fantasy. Fantasy. That which is not true comes from who? The father of lies. It's not true. It is presented before the children as real. So right then and there, the children are being led to not only lie, but to believe a lie. And the world is taking pleasure in these lies because they said it before their kids every single year. Every single year. So in the age of lying, it's become a thing now. And it's going to continue until the return. This is right here. This is what's presented before the people. But Jesus is real. God that cannot lie. Titus chapter 1 verse 2. Cannot lie. Santa Claus. Jolly old Saint Nicholas. Jesus. Isaiah says in Isaiah 53 verse 3, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Acquainted with grief. Santa Claus, welcomed by the entire world. I mean, I'm gonna pull this one up here. I'm gonna post this in the church chat. There was this commercial where this guy dressed up, and you can just see all the propaganda around. I mean, it was just awful. But they had the family there, and they were doing like their little dinner, and their special guest was a coronavirus. I mean, the guy was dressed up with a COVID mask on, and he's just touching everything they're touching, and it's just they were making it seem like, okay, if you celebrate this, you're going to catch COVID and you're probably going to die. I mean, just the way they were putting it out there. But this is welcome. This is welcome all over the world. I mean, different countries, they have their little mystical figure dress up. I think the kids were looking at something last night. I don't know if there's a country in Africa that has like this little, I don't know if it's in Africa. He dresses up and the character's called Ra. And he has like these little other characters that have like these little black faces, and they go around the neighborhoods. They go around the villages and they terrorize the kids. And then the very next day they come and give them all gifts. And these customs are like all over the world. I mean, there's like different countries who would do something similar. But here in America, for me, knowing that I live in a house that doesn't even have a chimney. So how is this guy even getting in here? And it was kind of like, you know, when you first introduced to these things, you don't kind of, it doesn't click right away. It doesn't. But it's all over the world in just a different shape and a different form. But it's welcome. It's welcomed by the world and fully accepted. It is. But with Jesus, as Isaiah tells us, we hid as if were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. As Isaiah 3:3. Santa, the mist of Santa is that he's coming to town to give us material goods, material possessions. But Jesus is coming to earth to give us eternal life and eternal goods. Again, everything we have here on this earth, everything is going to be consumed. Everything here. So why put your focus? Why put your efforts? I mean, there's nothing wrong with having, but when you allow the materialism to consume your daily lives, when you allow that to consume you, and it shows where the focus is at. Santa, fat, red-faced symbol of self-indulgence. Most older pictures show him smoking a pipe, and a red nose has always been linked to alcohol indulgence. You see a common theme we just talked about with Sister White and the quotes there, indulgence. Indulgence of food, indulgence of gifts, indulgence. But the world possesses indulgence as happiness. when you see even with relationships that spoil, a lot of times the people, they go and they decide to do a complete lifestyle change. And the first thing you do, I'm going to go and buy, change outfit, buy a new car, just buy. Or in some cases with the woman, just take the credit card, just go and swipe, just greedily indulging. Just say that, hey, in order to get these gifts, now these things are going to make me happy. When they don't. You see, with people who strike rich on the lottery, when they spend, just thinking that money is going to bring them happiness. In a couple of years, and in some cases even a couple of months, they're broke. Because it didn't give them happiness. They said even more depressed, more than they were before they even won the money. But Jesus, fasting alone in the desert, tell of our days that he has passed. How for our sins he was tempted. It was triumphant at last. Victory over appetite was the reason for that season. Message, indulgence equals death. It does. Overeating, overconsuming, not understanding and not learning what temperance is. It's not just overindulgence in food. I mean, this could be anything. I've been talking to my kids now about balance. Having balance in your life. You can't just spend too much time on one particular thing. There has to be some balance in your life. It has to be. With a Christ-centered focus. There has to be balance. If you spend so much time sitting in a chair, you're going to get a backache. You spend so much time with your neck, you know, something over looking at a phone. After a while, you see the people who develop what they call text neck. And what's taken away from you being physically active, there has to be balance. Even your food, what things you eat, there has to be balance for your body, has to be balance for your mind. But this overindulgence does not help anywhere. It does not help at all. Santa Claus, attractive, bright, sparkling, and admired. But Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 52, verse 14, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. Santa is all about getting. When has it ever been said that Santa promotes people to give to each other? It's all about getting. What are you going to get? I mean, I told you, we used to sit around in a book and just circle, just about everything in the book. Now, what are you going to get? And you'll be disappointed when instead of those toys that you were, you know, coveting on or, you know, game or whatever it may be, those clothes in that box, something you really needed. But Christ promotes giving. Acts chapter 20, verses 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And that's an issue with America in particular because of this drowning debt that at the end or credit card debt. You see the sorrow at using their money to buy these gifts. The happiness that is achieved once you learn, I mean, that principle to be able to give to someone who's in need, it promotes happiness. It promotes it. And I've been finding some pleasure here lately with sending these boxes off. I know that reminds me, Sister Martha, I'm going to call you this evening. That just reminded me. Thank you. Praise God. I just thought about that. But just sent off probably about a half a dozen. Just sent them off. I'm like, man, I got them here. Why not bless others that they may have? Because in certain parts of America, they may not grow. So just send them out. And if anyone wants them, just let me know. Hey, I will send them out. And I know the post office has been kind of swamped here lately because of the whole, you know, Christmas holiday season. But if you still want them, let me know. I will definitely get them out there to you. To give it. All right, back on the chart here. Santa uses magic to do his work. Magic. But Jesus, he did not use the divine power to make his life easier for himself. He didn't. Santa has many little people, elves, to do all his work, typical of the rich. But Jesus, I have trodden the wine press alone, and of the people there was none with me. Isaiah 63, verse 3, he was servant to all. Santa only comes to little, good little boys and girls. Jesus, as Luke declares in chapter 7, verse 34, a friend of publicans and sinners. Remember, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. Santa, untruthful, in that everyone knows that bad children still get gifts. But Jesus speaks here through Exodus 34, verse 7, that God will in no means clear the guilty. In no means clear the guilty. But just in his death. Santa says, ho, 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 in a very contrasted, as in Matthew 20:23, where Jesus gives those woes. I believe it's 7 times in that particular chapter. To the Pharisees, and the publicans. Santa, children write letters and even pray to Santa. That is a false god and an idol. Jesus says, Mark chapter 10, verse 14, suffer little children to come unto me. Come unto me. And I believe this verse just came to my mind, and I think it's in the first epistle of John. It's the very last verse in the 5th chapter, where John says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. Yet this Santa figure is placed before them as an idol. As just that, an idol. Santa teaches that material gifts are the most important concern. Children feel rejected if friends get more for Christmas than they do. Abundant gifts means you're good. I mean, we just talked about that. Man, the feelings that I used to have, seeing my cousins get more, that there was just like that burning feeling, like, what did they do? I had straight A's. But those cousins had parents who made more, had higher paying jobs. My mom, I mean, she struggled. And I've talked about this before. I mean, I grew up in a house that didn't have a bathroom. So she struggled. But in order to, you know, try to, you know, keep me happy or to keep up, I mean, she would do these things, putting herself in a hole for no particular reason. Or that reason being because of the holiday, and not that I wouldn't feel, you know, that burning feeling that I felt. And this continues on to this day with kids. Because parents set before them, they're taught the lie, and this passes down from generation to generation. And praise God for many of you who were broken out of that. Broken out of that cycle. Broken out of that chain. It's a lie and nothing more. Everything around Christmas is a lie. And parents lie to their children about Santa. But God hates lies. It's a commandment. It's repeated multiple times throughout Scripture. I mean, the book of Proverbs alone speaks volumes about false witnesses. Volumes. The false witnesses are not being punished. Can we give false witnesses to our kids right here with this holiday? And present it in a light that is not good. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That's Psalm chapter 34, verse 11. Santa sneaks into homes through the chimney. Satan always intrudes any way he can. What does Jesus say? What does Jesus do? It's in Revelation chapter 3. The verse is not mentioned here, but I do know it's in chapter 3. This is Jesus speaking to the Laodicean church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And knock. That door. Door of your heart. And knock. If any man hear my voice. If my sheep hear my voice. They don't want nothing to do with these customs. Nothing to do with the festivities of this world. If my sheep. If any man hear my voice. And open the door. Open your heart to him. What will he do? I will come into him. And the verse continues on. That I will come into him. And will sup with him. And he with me. Santa associated with feasting, partying, rich foods, fresh meat, and celebrations. But Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 23, verse 20, be not among wine bibblers, among riotous eaters of flesh. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That's Luke 21. Verse 34. The focus what overeating does, as Nick just spoke about this earlier, about having a clear mind and how it's hindered based on what you eat, based on what you put into your body. But at the same time, what about the spirit? What are you feeding into your soul? What are you feeding? Santa only involved with us for one night, but Jesus says, lo, I am with you always unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 20. So again, page is up on the website, and I will share some of these quotes in the church chat, because I have many, where Sister White speaks about Christmas. Again, you make the decision to celebrate, and I know many here, myself included, nothing, absolutely nothing. It just, you look forward to that day. It comes, it goes, as if it's just another day. For me, it's a day off. Day off, spend time with the kids, you know. But if you have that calling to go out on that day, maybe knock on some doors, you find that people are very, very receptive to tracts this time of year. They're receptive to actually talking about God this time of year. You only get it on two particular days, Easter and Christmas, where people will actually talk. And you can just get some conversations going. So you can use that to your advantage. And the subject of end times, you can definitely bring that up. So wherever your heart leads, wherever the Spirit leads you concerning this holiday, then do and go. But as long as you're not in that custom and tradition as the world is leading, that's the difference. That's the separation. As the world is leading, as they are setting it before the people. With the indulgence, with the coveting, with the jealousy, with the envy, with the buying and all, just all of that. All of that. We even touched the tip of the iceberg as far as everything that is involved with it. That's why this whole page here has all these different quotes, all these links, all these historical accounts. You can see it, know it, and make the decision. And also when it comes to your family members, and the reason why you don't, there's plenty of information here to take it and use to your advantage, brothers and sisters. So I know I went a little bit over there. I know it's the top of the hour. I know Brother Sean is coming up. He may continue to touch on it. I don't know. But it is definitely something to look at, because it's right around the corner. All right, so without further ado, I'm going to drop my mic. And the next voice you will hear will be that of Brother Sean. Oh, he says, give me a moment. A moment? Okay. He said a moment. So I will do just that. I did not see the PM over here. I'm sorry. So while he's probably getting his microphone ready, let me pull up one more particular quote here, because I had this discussion while I was talking online about Santa and a particular name. And it's an easy kind of quote to use, or easy way to kind of phrase it when you use the Christopher Columbus example as the name of his ships, or how they were named, all the name after females. And the way that masculinity is expressed in the Spanish language, you know, San versus Santa. And this quote here, this observation I'm seeing right here. Yeah, matter of fact, it touches right into that. Observation based on comments by Pastor James Knox of Deland, Florida. In Latin and Spanish, San is used, or San, is used for the names of male saints, such as San Juan, San Luis Obispo, I might have butchered that, and San Diego also. Santa is used for the names of female saints, such as Santa Maria and Santa Lucia. From this linguistic usage, we can determine that Saint Nicholas somehow morphed into Santa Claus. This would seem to indicate one of two things. One of two things. Oh, that's all. I'll give you that link here, there, brother. If you go to the, matter of fact, the warning section of the homepage, and you scroll down to holidays, and then you click that, and you'll see all the holidays. Like Easter is there, Halloween is there, Christmas is there, and you'll see those. And you scroll down, and it's called a comparison chart, where you see Jesus and Santa is outlined in that chart. It's a pretty lengthy page, but it's a lot of information. It's a whole lot of information that you can use. It's very, very, very helpful in learning some of the history about this holiday. All right, but the indication here, this would seem to indicate one of two things. Santa is, in fact, a lady who is cross-dressed in a man's outfit, complete with fake beard. This would be a real encouragement to the feminists to agitate for equal hiring and affirmative action to see more lady Santa Clauses. And point two, St. Nicholas is a drag queen who is using a female name, Santa Claus, as some sort of signal to the gay community. Some sort of signal. So, I mean, again, now living in this age of everything is, they got so many names for gender identities, and it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And they're putting it for the kids, putting it in the schools to make it acceptable. And you see who's the front runner in this. The very thing that we were taught as kids to love and adore every December 25th. And people need to wake up. they need to wake up to what is going on. And his master is such an enemy. Everything on this planet, everything has been just inverted. Everything is upside down, is backwards, it's turned around, it's reversed. Everything that's being done to you as an individual has been done to your health, your life, your spirit, spirituality. You look what the doctors do with all these drugs and AMAs and vaccines. I mean, they destroy your health. Or the justice system, the judges, the lawyers, they destroy the justice. But the scientists, everything's so fact-based. How they just destroy facts. Religious institutions, they destroy spirituality. Governments destroy freedom. The schools destroy knowledge. Mainstream media, they destroy the truth. Everything out there just lies on top of lies. And the television is a big proponent of that. Big proponent. Oh, see, Brother Sean is here. I mean, ramble a little bit. But he is here. I think, are you ready, bro? Are you ready? You're good to go? Let me see. We got that another microphone now. She'll be back in the swing of things. Let me see. Are you there? Okay. All right. There we go. All right. Now I can drop my mic. All right, there, bro. Next voice you will hear, this time for real, is Brother Sean. All right. Sabbath blessings, everyone.